If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this very first Sunday of 1976, we take this opportunity to wish to you and your family a very happy and prosperous new year in the Lord. 1976 will be a time of great events worldwide, not only in government, not only in education and the economy, but in Christianity and Christian circles all over the world. Who knows, this may be the year of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear me, what a wonderful thought just to anticipate the return of Jesus Christ to take away from this world His very own. Let me ask you a question on this brand new first Sunday of the new year. Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him and have you believed on Him as your sacrifice for sins? If not, I pray that this very first Sunday of the year would be a day of decision in your life, that you would turn the reins of your life over to Him, that you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I trust that you'll be resolved in 1976 to put Christ and the church first in your life. I can think of no better resolution for all of us to make than this. I resolve to put Jesus Christ first in my life every day during the year 1976. If that is your resolve, then all of the other things, the problems, the difficulties, the energy crisis, all of the economic and employment problems, all of these will be put in proper perspective if Jesus Christ is first in your life. Why not resolve to do it now, beginning on this Lord's Day? Resolve to be in Sunday school and church every Lord's Day, putting Christ and the church first in your life. If you do not have a Sunday school and church home, we invite you to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has this motto, teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. The only textbook in the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible. So we invite you and your family to come and share with us in a series of Sunday School lessons beginning today on the great doctrines of the Bible. I believe you'd be interested in those great doctrines, and they begin today in the Sunday School hour at 10 o'clock. And I trust that you'll be in our services of worship, as already stated, at 11 o'clock this morning and 7 o'clock this evening. I'd like for you to mark a very special date on your calendar. Sunday, March the 7th, we will observe the 22nd anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. That's Sunday, March the 7th. And I trust that you'll plan now to be with us on this remarkable day. Truly, this will be the greatest day in the history of Worth Baptist Church. That date again, Sunday, March 7th, the 22nd anniversary of Worth Baptist Church. And then another very important day will be our God and Country Day on Sunday, July 4th. As we enter the bicentennial year, we're planning for a tremendous day on Sunday, July 4th, our God and Country Day. You'll not want to miss these services, and we'll be saying much more about them on future broadcasts. In the meantime, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That's Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. It would be our joy to hear from you during these days of 1976. Remember, a new year brings new opportunities, a new challenge, and a new direction for your life. We are now in the land of a new beginning. It is a tremendous thing that God gives us the opportunity to start all over again. And I trust today will be a new beginning in your life as you resolve to put Jesus Christ and the church first in your life. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Things That Time Cannot Change. I shall read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to Thee in this hour to thank Thee for the land of a new beginning, for this first Lord's Day of the new year. I pray today that each of us would be resolved that Jesus Christ would have first place in the ranks of our lives during these days. Bless our nation today, our president, our congressmen, our governors, our mayors, all of those who are in places of responsibility, in leadership, in government. I pray that all over the world men might turn to Christ today and realize that the only lasting peace that we can have is the peace that He alone can bring. And then, Father, we pray for those who are shut in, especially today, those who cannot get out to public worship. Bless them and encourage them and strengthen them in this hour. In particular, we would pray for our senior citizens. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this year might be a good year in their lives as You watch over them and care for them and meet their every need, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, at verse 22, Paul writes, But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Since talking with you last Sunday on the broadcast, we have witnessed the death of an old year and have seen the birth of a new one. Now, during this transition period, there are things that we should leave behind us that we should not carry into the new year. There are some things that we would do well to change, our preconceived ideas that are unscriptural, our wrong attitudes that are unchristlike. All of these things should be changed. But, my friend, there are some things that can never change, and we do well to remember these. So I've entitled my message today, on the first Sunday of 1976, Things That Time Cannot Change. The first thing that I would call to your attention that time cannot change is our position in Jesus Christ. Now, our position is twofold. First, we have a heavenly position. Our status is sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. This can never be changed. The second part of that position is an earthly position. We are standing between God and man. We are standing between heaven and hell. We are standing between time and eternity. We are standing between the living and the dead. There's a wonderful story, but it's a very awesome thing, over in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. It's the story of Israel's sin and God's judgment. Men in Israel rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and attempted to usurp the authority that God had delegated only to the leadership. And when they did this under the leadership of Korah and his rebellion, God opened the earth, swallowed up 250 families, and yet some still continued to rebel. So God sent a plague, and over 14,000 people died. When Moses saw the severity of it, he sent Aaron with a censer full of incense burning day and night to stand between God and those who were on the earth. In fact, verse 48 of Numbers 16 says, Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Now he stood first authoritatively. He was placed there by God. Second, he stood alone. No one stood with him. And third, he stood all the time that the judgment was in force. Now in the 20th century, as believers, as Christians, we too are standing in the same position. We are standing between God and man. We are standing between time and eternity. We are standing between the living and the dead. And we too, like Aaron, stand with the authority of God. Oftentimes we may have to stand alone, but stand we must. By night and by day, we must stand. We must stand until all of the judgment of God has passed and Jesus Christ comes to receive His own. We must not compromise our stand as we stand for the truth in 1976. We must not fail to stand with the authority of God. We must not hesitate to stand alone if necessary. But we can remember this, that we are never truly alone. For Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way, even to the end of the age. We must stand until God's judgment upon a sin-cursed world is past. And as we stand, we must not bow down to the gods of this world system. I read the exciting story of the Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, when the decree was that all men must bow down before the image set up by Nebuchadnezzar. But these three men, the Hebrew children, said, no, we will not bow down. And they did not bow down. Oh, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but they did not burn. You see, their story is this. The three who would not bow, nor bend, nor burn, God delivered them. God brought them through the fiery furnace without even smelling like smoke. And my friend, if we are put in the fiery furnace of trial and tribulation and persecution in our day and in our age, rest assured that God will bring us through. We must not, I repeat, we cannot, we dare not bow down to the gods of this world system. We must obey God. We must take our stand for righteousness, for truth, for the Bible, for Christ, for the church, and we must stand until Jesus Christ comes again. No, time cannot change our position. In the second place, time cannot change our purpose. Our purpose is to reach the unreached multitudes with a gospel of redeeming grace. This world system cannot offer the answers that our hearts and our souls demand. Your needs cannot be met in government or education or philosophy. Your basic need is a spiritual need, my friend. And only through Jesus Christ can that need be supplied. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you must have Christ in your heart to have the longing of your soul satisfied. A good time, pleasure, all of these things, money, wealth, prestige, position, the favor of man, these things are temporal. They will soon pass away. But the peace that God gives and the standing that God gives and the wonderful life in Jesus Christ can never but never be changed. And this is the only thing that will satisfy the longing of your heart. It is our objective here at Worth Baptist Church and through Worth Baptist Hour, to build a strong New Testament church with Spirit-filled Christians whose outreach is to evangelize the city and the regions beyond. Now, someone may be asking, but how can we fulfill such a purpose that is unchanging and unchangeable? I answer that by saying three things. First, we can fulfill our objective and our purpose by personal evangelism and soul winning right here in the city of Fort Worth. There are multiplied thousands of people. Some of you are listening to this broadcast today. You've never tasted the heavenly gift. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never anchored your faith in Him. You are lost. You are bound for the devil's hell without any hope. My friend, unless and until you come to your place of repentance and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no hope for you. But we are here to evangelize. We are here to bring you the gospel. That's the purpose of this radio ministry, to share Christ with you. The purpose of Worth Baptist Church is to share Christ with a great city of Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and, of course, the entire world. The second way that we can fulfill our purpose is by building and maintaining a Bible-teaching Sunday school. You'll be glad to know that last year, 1975, our Sunday school averaged 549 for the 52 Sundays of the year. What a tremendous record. Many souls were saved and added to the church. We were privileged to send more money around the world to evangelize. We'll be talking about these things on a later broadcast, but I wanted to mention it this time. We are building and maintaining a Bible-teaching Sunday school. Remember, the textbook is the Bible, the Word of God, and here we stand. And this is the way we will fulfill our purpose as a church and as a body of believers. And then the third way that we will fulfill our purpose is by sending missionaries around the world. Some 77 missionary families we are now helping to support in the various parts of the world. This is our objective, to evangelize, to win men to Christ all over the earth. And this purpose cannot be changed by time. The ending of 1975 did not bring an end to our missionary thrust. In fact, it just strengthened the thrust that we're going to carry over and have already begun to carry over in 1976. And in order to do that, my friend, we are planning the beginning of the construction of our new building to house hundreds of people and to be able to send the gospel from this city around the world. No, our position does not change with time. The third thing that I would call to your attention that time cannot change is our peace and our power, the power that God has given us. We have power in the Holy Spirit. We have peace in Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8 concerning our power. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Listen to the words of Jesus concerning our peace. Jesus said, "My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus Christ, and the peace of God that can never, but never be changed. Look what God has done with His power. With His power, God created the heavens and the earth. With His power, God made man. With His power, God brought into existence a great nation, Israel, that produced in the flesh the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one day, with that same power, Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds of glory to reign over all the earth. And that power, my friend, is the power that we have today by the Holy Spirit in our Christian experience. This is the power that came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, by the Holy Spirit's coming upon the Jewish believers in the upper room. This same power came in Acts chapter 10 upon the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius. And since that time, in this dispensation of grace in this church age, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into the life of every person who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, every man who is a Christian, every man who is saved has the power of God in him by virtue of the fact that the Holy Spirit abides within. What a wonderful power. That power can be yours today. Jesus Christ said, "All power, that is all authority, in heaven and in earth is given unto me." You take that power, Jesus said in so many words, and you go around the world and evangelize and teach and preach the gospel and make disciples all over the earth. This is the power that we need in our ministries today. Without that power, we can do nothing. In fact, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." In Zechariah 4:6, we read, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." So today, my friend, the only power that'll do anything of lasting good is God's power that is given to us in the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. I trust today, wherever you are, whatever your status in life, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you would come and do it today. Do you really want the peace of God in your heart? Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This can be your experience today, not by joining the church, not by being baptized, but by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, by praying the sinner's prayer. Will you pray it right now? "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And when you pray that prayer, in faith believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you will be saved. And the peace of God and the power of God will come into your life. I trust that you'll do it right now. I know that you may not be in a position to think you can do it at this moment, but wherever you are, maybe you're driving down the highway, you could just pull the car over, the truck over to one side of the road. You could just stop and pour out your heart to God and ask God to save you. Ask God to give you peace in your heart in this hour, and He'll do it. My friend, you'll be a new person. You can face 1976 boldly. You can face the new year with courage and daring and boldness. You can have the most wonderful year of your life. 1976 can be the best year in all of your experience. If you'll but put Jesus Christ first. If you'll just say to God, "I want Christ first in my life," I trust that you'll do it right now by your radio. And write us this week and let us know that you've decided to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well. And the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.